I never intended to cause an uprising, but before I get into the details, I need you to understand three things. McDonald's French fries are commonly derived from the russet Burbank potato. McDonald's French fries are delivered to the store partially cooked and flash frozen from the factory. I am not crazy. It was an ordinary Thursday lunch shift. I'd always worked the cash register and dining room, restocking everything from the ketchup dispensers to the ice machine. But this was my first time working the fryer. Mr. Sloan, our shift manager, had painstakingly walked me through the process. Grab a 10-pound bag of fries from the freezer. Dump the contents into the fry baskets, and then lower the baskets into a scalding vat of oil for 3 minutes. Easy enough, right? Even a trained chimp could do it. However, sometimes easy enough quickly turns into diabolically difficult. I just lowered the twin baskets of fries into the oil, and immediately I could hear a high-pitched whine, the type of whine you hear when the air is being released slowly from the pinched mouth of a balloon. My ears began to experience a stabbing ache, like twin ice picks being repeatedly jabbed at my ear canals. I checked around the kitchen, but nobody else appeared to be hearing the sound. Trying to determine its source, I lowered my ear toward the vat of bubbling oil. That's when I detected movement. The fries I had just lowered into the vat were now a twisting and coiling knot. Imagine a jumbled, snaking mass of slender fingers-sized maggots. I watched, unblinking and unbelievingly, as the suddenly active fries started to worm their way over the rims of the fry baskets towards the sides of the vat. Then, using their combined mass against the edge of the vat, they started to form numerous chains to boost themselves out of the oil. As the first fries in each chain broke free of the oil's surface, the whine began to grow in the pitch and volume, as if a jet engine was throttling up for takeoff. Again, I glanced around to see if any other crew member was hearing the sound, but they all went about their business as if fry uprising wasn't in progress. I stood over the vat of escape-minded fries and did what any McDonald's fry cook or trained chimp would do. I started to shove the fries back down into the vat with a spatula. The response from the fries was instant. They started to quicken their pace out of the vat, their ear-splitting whine quickly morphing into the angry hiss of air bleeding from a gashed tire. I grabbed a second spatula and went to work, shoving and slapping and pounding the fries back into the oil. Picture a violent game of whack-a-mole between a frantic fry cook and hundreds of sentient French fries. Oil was being splattered everywhere as the angrily hissing fries went plunging back again and again, their twisting mounds growing faster and more desperate to scale the size of the cooking vat. I was working up a mighty sweat as errant droplets of oil stung my forearms and neck, every inch of my exposed skin, yet the battle waged on. As ludicrous as it sounds, for every droplet that sizzled against my skin, my mind grew stronger. My body seemed to be using the pain to hypercharge my thoughts, blocking out the tactile sensations that fueled my cognition. So, just as the struggle reached its most fevered pitch, time seemed to slow down. I could see everything happening in slow motion. Each surgically placed swipe of my spatula making contact against every squirming ladder of fries, and I began to wonder why this uprising was happening now. Of all the lunch shifts of all the McDonald's in the world, why now? Maybe it had something to do with the oil. I knew from Mr. Sloan's training that McDonald's uses oleic canola oil because it has no trans fat while also boasting the lowest saturated fat of any vegetable oil. Or maybe it had something to do with the Luther Burbank, the famed botanist who developed the russet Burbank potato, the most common mainstay for McDonald's fries. Perhaps a combination of oleic canola oil and russet Burbank potato was causing the uprising. Ding. The fryer's 3-minute timer sounded, and suddenly I was aware that all activity in the fryer had ceased. I stared into the vat, scanning and re-scanning the fries, but they all floated motionless on the oil surface, all brown and crispy. I finally blinked. Todd, need a large fry for the drive-thru. Big Tony stood at the drive-thru window, impatiently motioning with his hand. Not daring to move a muscle, I just kept my eyes trained on the fries. I didn't trust them. They were only playing dead. Big Tony ambled over to the fryer and dumped both baskets into the heated bin. As he sprinkled them with a salt shaker, he gave my forearms a look over. You're getting some redding there, Todd. You're supposed to be wearing sleeves. He then scooped a load of golden crispy fries into a large fry sleeve and bagged it up. I watched him hand deliver the bag to the waiting motorist. It was a haggard-looking mother in a minivan with two crab-ass kids in the back seat. The mother plucked the large fries from the bag and handed it back to her kids' grabby hands. Then the minivan pulled away. I watched its brake lights as it waited to exit the parking lot. My whole body suddenly unclenched. Perhaps the uprising had been a figment of my imagination. Maybe the fumes off the fryer had messed with my head. I'd have to do a Google search on oleic canola oil. The minivan suddenly did something suspicious. It shot in the traffic and then made a very reckless U-turn back into our parking lot. I could feel my jaw tighten and my gonads shrivel. With mounting dread, I watched the vehicle pull into the nearest handicap spot. Then the mother and kids entered the store. Both kids were now calm and polite. The mother appeared pleasant and relaxed. If I had to describe them in a single word, vegetative. They approached the counter as Mr. Sloan made a beeline for the register. "Hello, welcome to McDonald's. How may I help you?" "One large fry." "Of course, Todd, one large fry." My eyes batted between the fry bin and the placid-faced mother and kids. Something in my gut was warning me not to fill that order. "Todd, large fries, please." Sorry, Mr. Sloan. Only one order of fries per customer." "Are you trying to be funny, Todd?" Mr. Sloan exchanged a look with Big Tony. "Todd, it's okay." Big Tony scooped another large fry and delivered it to the mother. Then she and her kids gorged themselves. It was the kind of savage feeding frenzy you'd see on a nature special with a mother lion and her cubs having taken down a gazelle. When it was over, everyone licking their lips and fingers of the salty residue, the mother looked up. "Another large fry, please." Now Mr. Sloan and Big Tony were catching a whiff of the crazy that I'd already sniffed. "I'm sorry," Mr. Sloan replied, giving them his most groveling smile. "Only two orders of fries per customer." The mother's face went blank. "Vegetative. Oh, that's a shame. What kind of potato were those fries made from?" "Russet Burbank." "And what kind of oil were they cooked in?" "Oleic canola." "And lastly, whose arm hair was in the fryer?" Then Mr. Sloan, Big Tony, the mother, and her kids all turned their gaze on my arms, my bare, red-splotched, oil-singed arms. Mr. Sloan and Big Tony silently scolded me as the mother and her kids looked hungrily at my arm's flesh. "Bravo, Todd," the mother said. "Your French fries are positively life-giving. We can't wait to see what you cook up next." And she and her kids exited orderly and drove away. "Todd," Mr. Sloan grumbled, "when you're operating the fryer..." "Don't worry, Mr. Sloan. I'm never working the fryer again. I quit." I walked out, never looked back, never had another fry, and never caused another uprising. But there's a fourth fact that keeps me up at night. McDonald's sells 9 million pounds of fries a day. I started working for McDonald's during my sophomore year of high school. I was still working there 5 years after my graduation. My grades hadn't been enough to earn me a scholarship, and I wasn't in a hurry to go into debt just to make a little more than I was making now. I figured I could bide my time, climb the corporate structure, and eventually go from a minimum wage part-timer to a manager. That all changed the day I met the ham murderer. It's hard to remember specifics when you work a job like McDonald's. It's mundane, repetition, exemplified. That day didn't feel different from any other. I had just finished the lunch rush from 11 to 1 and was enjoying the lull in foot traffic. Just a few customers were sitting in the lobby, the bulk of commerce now at the drive-thru window. Then he walked in.
"Robble, robble!"
I blinked as the man walked through the door. He was short and squat with a tuft of red hair peeking out from the brim of his large black hat. Large ears fanned the sides of his face, and buck teeth hung over his lips, even with his mouth closed. His shirt and pants were black and white stripes, while a large tie decorated with cheeseburgers flowed past his knees. It took me a while to recognize his getup as the Hamburglar, one of McDonald's forgotten mascots I hadn't seen since childhood. He crept up to the tables, ducking behind trash cans and peeking out his head to examine the customers' orders. Me and the other employees behind the counter laughed, wondering if it was some promotion that corporate had set up without telling us. A few customers thought the same as they pulled out their cell phones and started recording. He tiptoed to a table with a lone stoner in his late 30s, who somehow missed his entrance. The Hamburglar, standing on his left side, loomed behind him, then tapped the man's right shoulder. When his bloodshot eyes turned in that direction, the Hamburglar swiped the unopened Big Mac from his table.
Robble, robble!
He screamed again and shoved the Big Mac into his mouth. The sandwich was too big, of course, and it was obliterated. Pickles and breadcrumbs fell to the ground while the man made gnashing noises, cupping the sides of his face to catch the remains of the burger. It took about 3 seconds, leaving his mouth smeared with grease and special sauce. The display was so sickening that I questioned the man's origins. Corporate might promote a stunt like this, but wouldn't want to make the customers uncomfortable or compensate them for lost food. I suspected he was some online prankster, so I leaned over the counter, looking for somebody besides the customers recording him, but I couldn't see anyone. Another one of the customers was a single mother with 2 children, a boy and a girl, about 6 and 4 years old. The mother was smiling as she examined who the Hamburglar was. The boy guarded his cheeseburger a little closer, but the little girl stretched out one of her chicken nuggets in his direction. The Hamburglar tiptoed over to them, sniffed at the nugget, then turned his head and retched. He spun on his heel in a twirl, smacking the little girl's hand so hard that sound filled the restaurant. The nugget flew through the air and bounced off a window.
Do I look like the Nugget Burglar?
He screamed in the child's face.
I'm the Hamburglar. Rubble, rubble.
Silence briefly filled the room before the girl broke down in hysterical sobs. This asshole was taking his prank too far. The mother stared at him aghast as she pulled her daughter close and whispered soothing words while glaring daggers at the man. The older brother stared, allowing the Hamburglar to snatch the half-eaten burger from his hand and cram it into his mouth, licking the grease from his fingers as he finished. Glenn, our manager, watched everything from behind the counter with us. Like everyone else, he was initially amused until the Hamburglar's interaction with the family. Glenn hefted his belt over his hanging stomach as the boy sniffled and walked to the table. Usually he was pretty laid back, but his entire face was red, even up through his receding hairline.
All right, buddy, that's enough. Get the hell out of my store.
He shoved a beefy finger into the much smaller man's chest before looking at the woman.
Ma'am, I'm so sorry. This man is not an employee, nor is he affiliated with the company in any way. I'll be happy to comp and...
Before Glenn could say anything, the Hamburglar stepped before him, standing on his tiptoes to put a hand on one of Glenn's shoulders. At first, I thought he was going to kiss him or something. It didn't make any sense, but neither did any of his strange behavior. Instead, 4 small explosions preceded dark red stains on the back of Glenn's shirt before he collapsed, lifelessly to the ground. In the Hamburglar's hand was a smoking revolver.
You!
He screamed and pointed the gun at me.
You know what I want, rabble rabble!
The sight of the gun froze me in place while my co-workers all ran to the back entrance. As he stalked toward me, the customers rushed out of the restaurant, leaving their food forgotten in their mad dash to safety. I wasn't about to die for $8 an hour, so I emptied my register into a bag and set it on the counter. The Hamburglar peered into the bag and then sneered in disgust before smacking the bag away.
Burgers! Give me all your burgers! Rabble, rabble!
What? I asked in shock, but he fired the gun in the air, which sprang me into action. I spun around and pulled all of the burgers off the line and put them in the paper bags. Big Macs, quarter pounders, even the small ones from our value menu. My hands trembled, dropping one of the burgers to the floor. Another gunshot made me jump. The bullet drove through the McFlurry machine, leaving a gaping hole dripping ice cream. I could easily imagine the same hole in my stomach, leaking out my guts. I finished the last bag and set them on the counter. Do you want fries with that? I cringed at the stupid question. My training had hammered it into me so hard that it came out as a reflex. The robber's face tightened in rage as he raised the gun to my head. So close I could see Glenn's blood staining the barrel. I cried and begged, but it didn't stop him from pulling the trigger. Click. Lucky you, he said, as the strength went out from my legs and the front of my pants grew hot and wet as I lost control of my bladder. The Hamburglar grabbed the bags and skipped toward the door. He spun on his heel, smiled, and saluted me with the gun.
Robble, robble.
The police never caught him, and I haven't stepped foot in McDonald's ever since.